I'd like to call the Osage Nation Congress Appropriations Committee meeting to order. It's October 3rd. Time is 4:22 PM. Roll call.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Maker.
Here.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Shaw.
Here. Thank you. Congressman Whitehorn, pray for us.
Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for all your blessings and your care for us. Lord, we just ask that you be with us right now while we go through our work and do that. We ask your special blessings on all of our people, wherever they are, whatever their situations may be. Just be with them. All these things we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Approval of minutes. The attached minutes are from the 29th.
Chairman, the bottom line of the page, page 2, line 54, 57, strike all that together, strike all.
Any other changes? If the vote count correct, did we have 5? Did we have 4?
Angela Rice.
Oh, she wrote it. Second. Is there a second to approve the minutes?
Second.
Motion to be made by Congresswoman Whitehorn, second by Congressman to approve the minutes as submitted from September 29th. All in favor say yes. Any opposed, no. Minutes are approved. We have one item agenda today. Business consideration of ONCR 1641, a resolution to provide for an election to adopt amendment number 1 to place instructive appropriation language. Sponsor is Congressman Whitehorn. You have the floor.
Thank you, Chairman, and I really want to thank you for forming this meeting for us today to review this. I think that it's important that it's at least presented before Congress for a vote in the light of we have one piece of legislation that is calling for a special election. Has that been signed into law by the chief already? I believe it has. Yes, it has. So we know we're going to have a special election in 180 days from the chief's signature. I think it would be expedient to get a constitutional amendment on that ballot to put before the people to help us get some constitutional language to allow for good budgetary law and it be constitutional. So that's why I'm very thankful you went ahead and called this meeting, because I'd like to try to come to some type of agreement to place this before Congress. But the reason that I put in a constitutional amendment this session is because I had done so the session before. To provide fiscal language in our Constitution, because in the light of the Supreme Court decisions that have come down, there's some question about what congressional authority is as far as appropriations are concerned. And I think that the reason that question is, and from my reading and studying of that opinion, is because the places that it gives us legislative authority to do so is only in Section 6, Article 6, Section 23 of the Constitution. That's the only place that has any, that speaks to any budgeting process or procedure. Although it tells us that we can enact laws, I think that it really needs to be clearly grounded in the Constitution that budgetary law is a constitutional thing to have. I presented an amendment in the spring that failed Congress. It was very wordy. It was the same amendment that the original was. Oh, by the way, I'm coming to you with a committee substitute that is quite a bit different from what I presented in the spring and from my original filing. Overwhelmingly, the negative comment I got about the constitutional amendment is it was very wordy, a lot there, and I agreed with that. I agreed that there was a lot of language. So I'm bringing to you a constitutional amendment as a committee substitute that's one sentence. And it took me just a time to sit down and to reflect on what was I really trying to accomplish. And what I was trying to accomplish by a constitutional amendment is clear language that gives the Congress the authority to place good budgetary law for the appropriation process. I don't know how aware or how well you studied or looked at the Attorney General's opinion, which her opinion is that the Budget Parameters and Limitation Act is unconstitutional. She has several questions in there about can we actually put a time period in the law? Can we actually require budgets to be in a certain form? And in the absence of constitutional language that says that we can pass budgetary law, that's always going to be at the heart of the question. This constitutional amendment that's in this committee substitute in no way is intended to be a pass or an end run around what the Supreme Court decision was, which the Supreme Court decision says you may not put unconstitutional restrictions or limitations, and that's not what this amendment seeks to do. All it seeks to do is to give Congress the ability to write budgetary law. Not expenditure law, budgetary law. As Speaker, I saw the need for us to be able to have consistent, good data so we could make good appropriation decisions. If we didn't know what we had done in the past 3 years with a donations line or with the salary and wages line or with direct services line, if we don't have the ability to track that, it's hard for us to make good decisions about our appropriations as a whole. And I'm not talking about going down into individual programs. I'm talking about the numbers, to see the shift in how Osage dollars are appropriated and expended. But in the absence of good budgetary law, of being able to require information be sent to this body as a prerequisite for our budgetary process happening, I don't foresee us to be able to function and legislate purposefully by appropriate or legislate our appropriations purposefully. So I would really request that you would adopt this committee substitute. I boiled it down to one sentence change in Article 6, Section 23. Nothing has changed except the insertion of this second sentence. And it says, Section 23, Article 6, Section 23 says annual budget. This first sentence is the original language. The Osage Nation Congress shall enact by law an annual expenditure of funds, which shall include an appropriation of operating funds for each branch of government for each fiscal year. This is the sentence that I've inserted for the constitutional amendment. The annual budget of the Osage Nation shall be governed by the principles of transparency and accountability, and the budgetary process encompassing those principles shall be set forth in Osage law. The annual budget shall not, and that was a new sentence I put in there, and then the annual budget shall not exceed projected revenues was the existing final sentence of that portion of the Constitution. So, to me, this accomplishes what I set out to do, which was constitutionally grant the ability to write the budgetary law for appropriating the annual budget of Osage Nation. And I hope that you would agree with me that it's a need. This session, we have seen an absence of budgetary law, which the executive did not follow the Budget Parameters and Limitation Act. In absence, we saw four different types of budgets presented to us. One of them was from the executive, which was their top-down approach, so that we really didn't get to receive any documents because they wouldn't matter because they were going to allocate it after we appropriated. So that was one mode that we saw. The Attorney General, which is an independent budget, submitted her budget in compliance with the Budget Parameters and Limitation Act. The Osage News, which is an independent budget, sent us her budget, or their budget, filling out the congressional questionnaire like we requested. And then the judicial branch submitted us their budget with support documents and reports of their reporting. So I don't see how, in the absence of good budgetary law, that this body is able to do their business. And it needs to be, in my opinion, needs to be grounded and rooted in the Constitution that we have that ability to do so. So, I'm open for any questions.
Congresswoman Pratt.
So I'll go ahead and move to adopt this committee substitute, I'm sorry.
Motion's been made to adopt the committee substitute for ONCR 1641. Is there a second?
Dated October 3rd, 2016 at 4:15 p.m.
Second. That motion's been made to accept the committee substitute, stamped October 3rd, 4:15 p.m. Seconded by Congressman Tillman. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor of the adoption of the committee substitute, say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Committee substitute is adopted. Any questions or discussion on the committee substitute? Congresswoman Pratt.
I just wanted to say that I think this looks good. I understand what Congresswoman Whitehorn is trying to do. I understand that she's been trying to present this. Bring this to Congress. As she stated, in light of the Supreme Court ruling, I think it looks good, and I sincerely hope it passes. This time, I know that, I don't remember how the vote went last time, but I was really disappointed that it didn't pass in the first place, and we could have already had this on the ballot for the last election. So I sincerely hope it makes it this time, and I will be happy, ready, and willing to speak to other members and to help her gain support for this. I think it looks good.
Congressman Baker.
I think this is very needed, especially this year, after what happened. I'm sure you checked with our legal analyst, Mr. Deal, on this, so just take it to the people.
And I'd like to comment on talking with our legal counsel. Before session started, after we were having appropriation committee meetings, I sat in his office one day and I said, Mr. Hill, how could this change? I said, this just isn't good for us, our people. And This was one of two suggestions. I won't mention what the first one was, but this was one of two suggestions. He says, bring back out your constitutional amendment, Maria. And he says, I think that, that we're ready for it. So it was at his suggestion. Of course, I'm kind of glad that the other one didn't pass. The concept of it was in my heart the same, but I really do believe that this insertion of one sentence is much more clear than what I presented in the original version of it. So I'm glad that I was forced to sit down and really try to collect my thoughts and figure out what we needed to accomplish or what I thought we needed to accomplish.
I will back you up and say I agree, and perhaps that's why people voted no, maybe. I mean, but members of Congress also need to take the time to sit down and discuss and be understand and, you know, talk with a sponsor. But, you know, just like we talk about when we put amendments out to the people, you know, don't be afraid. And that happens sometimes when, you know, I've even heard voters say that, well, if you don't understand, you know, just vote no. And, or they get like, I don't know what all that means. And so I think leading up to the 2014 election, Congresswoman Whitehorn did a good job on the campaign trail to advocate for the last constitutional questions and amendments. And I think she did a good job, and she was there to inform the people, and I think they all passed, didn't they? So that's just
what two of three passed in 14, and then we passed all or on the ballot this past year.
Yeah, I think we're getting better at that, and so the same thing would need to happen, you know, with this one. But I agree, it looks cleaner and maybe better and easier for people to understand. But I do think that, I think it was probably missing anyways, but we really got a good picture of how badly it is missing, especially with the way the ruling went. You know, I think that that was probably unexpected, very unexpected. So I think I just hope that this will do well and help the whole process.
Congressman Baker.
No, I was just going to say the same thing as Speaker Pratt said, that our public will be able to understand this a lot easier than a concise amendment or than a lengthy one. Some of our people aren't versed in what goes on here.
Other questions?
I just had a comment. I really thought it was important that I put that our process with should be governed by the principles of transparency and accountability. I don't believe that those words are in the Constitution. I think we all run on transparency and accountability as public servants to the Osage people. But I think that's needed. We haven't had transparent disclosure from the executive this whole budgetary session. And once I had that thought, I did go and I Googled principle of transparency, and it just comes right up on Google search. And you can easily see what transparency principles are. And I like this one. It says transparency is about being able to understand and being open, frank, and honest in communications, transactions, and operations. It is possible to be accountable by providing a lengthy and technical explanation of every detail, but if the information is not easily understood to the audience, and if key facts are hidden by the sheer volume of information, then the information is not presented in a transparent form. So, I think that I'm hearing that we're supposed to be getting voluminous boxes full of education stuff, which to me is not very transparent. We ask pretty simple questions that could have been easily interpreted. But, you know, we need to make it easy for the Osage public to see what we do in our budgeting process. They have a right to know. Congress has a right to know. So Anyway, I guess I'll quit talking and I'd like to do so.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Certainly open for more discussion, but if there is no more discussion, everyone fan me first. It's really hot.
Congresswoman.
Okay, I apologize. I was going to move to report, but I will.
One more question over here. Congressman Norris.
There's no saying, be careful what you ask for, you might get it. I think this is a good asking right here. I mean, it's no doubt that transparency is needed. Everybody campaigns on transparency and accountability. And then, for some reason, after elections, with transparency and accountability kind of get shoved under the table, and then you run into, I don't want to call them turf battles, because we certainly don't intend to infringe on anybody's turf. We only ask for information that better serves us to make decisions for the Osage people who we were elected to serve. If we can't do it by law, then we need to do it by constitutional changes. And when you start looking into the Constitution is, when it was written, it was understood that it was a living document, and it's going to continue to live. It's going to continue to evolve. It's going to continue to grow. I think that the intent of this is to make the Constitution just a little better document. And if the Osage people agree to that, then you've got to take it at your word that it will be a better document. So I would vote yes for this. After 10 years of this document being in existence, we can look back and see some things that perhaps need a little tweaking in it or something to make us a stronger government. And I think that inserting transparency and accountability in our budgeting process in this constitutional document will only strengthen it. So I have no opposition to it.
Thank you, Congressman Morrison. Needs a lot of opportunities for that.
Any more questions or discussion points? Congressman Hillman.
How do you think, I mean, for everything that we want to do, because I was in opposition to it, obviously someone's competing against this, and what is that going to be? How are they going to allow this? Or is there enough for this? Have you thought about?
Now, Joe, Congressman Tillman, I have not thought about the oppositions here. My past 2 days have been focused on how can I pull this in and do exactly what's in my head to do, or the need that I see.
Right.
And, you know, somebody spoke to me and says, well, that's not going to allow you to restrict or limit, do any restrictions or limitation on the executive branch like the court decision says. And it was like, that is never, no matter what people say or think, that has never been my objective, to restrict or limit the executive branch and their executive function. My objective is to be able to empower a legislative branch to have the ability to do our job with the information and data that we need. That has always been my goal and objective. So it really took me sitting down and doing some soul searching about what is it that you're really trying to say here. So I haven't been able to spend any time thinking about what opposition is. I just really have been focusing in on what is there to accomplish here. So. But I can go there with you.
To work on that, because I'd like to be able to mention that this is helping us.
I think that the best, from my experience, the best thing you can do is, if you support this, you can go out, and especially before this election, this special election, you can go out and you can talk to as many people as you can about the need for them to vote yes on this and why. And that's how I've always handled constitutional amendments, because what struck me as strange is one time, I think maybe in 12 there was something on the ballot, and I heard so many Osage people, I think it's when I was running for election, I've heard so many Osage people say, if you don't understand it, vote no. And that made me see right then that we have not done a very good job to educate our people about the ballot question. So the next election cycle, I committed myself to going out there and telling them why we need to change this constitution, what the need was to do it. Instead of worrying about what the opposition was to it, I just moved forward in the whys it needed to happen. So, and I think that our people are very astute and very, if you talk to them, they're very astute and they're very eager to know what their government's doing for them and why the change is necessary. So.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Just briefly, I was going to say, when you asked that, I tried to put myself there too, but I think I agree with it so much it's hard for me to, like, well, that's a good question. So I can't really put my mind there, but I know that, again, like she's saying, it just allows us to have better budgetary laws in the position that we're in right now. You know, I think it just was unexpected that the Supreme Court was going to, because we're a three-branch government based off of the federal government, how they're set up, but then that's not where the decision went. It was off of, you know, Osage law. So that was, I think, unexpected. And then beyond that, a lot of what's happening is based off an attorney general's opinion, and just to question why, if it were a different attorney general, would they have the same opinion? So it's just, here's where we are right now. And I think that this is, it being in the Constitution and being very clear that we have that ability, then it will help us to have better budgetary law.
I was just saying, I think that maybe the Supreme Court opinion was the overall arching thing, but I think what has, what's really made me see the need was the Attorney General's opinion in light of the Supreme Court opinion over our budgetary law and the executive's willingness not to use that law anymore because the Attorney General, in the absence of laws, this session has just been so tumultuous in the absence of any law that we follow. So I just think that from that Attorney General's opinion, we need the ability in the Constitution to write that law.
Any other comments? I sense some movement on imminent here. Congresswoman Pratt.
So, you know, if everybody's done, I will move to report OSR 1641 committee substitute, date October 3rd, 4:15 p.m. to Congress with the due pass.
Second. Okay. Motion's been made to report out committee substitute for ONCR 1641 with the due pass recommendation, seconded by Congresswoman Whitehorn. Is there any additional discussion? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, say yes.
Yes.
If you say no. Okay.
Motion to
adjourn. Motion to adjourn, seconded by Congressman Maker.
It's my desire to try to get this, excuse me, I'm sorry. Do we need to say yes and then I can talk to you?
No objection, we're adjourned.
Okay. It's my desire that we try to get this.